The Australian Ballet presents Oscar, a new ballet by Christopher Wheeldon based on the life and writings of Oscar Wilde. Don't miss the world premiere of this powerful production, September 13 to 24 at Melbourne's Regent Theatre. Book now.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. It's 10 minutes past 8.
And we love each and every month getting Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue to come on in as we dive into chats about our furry, fluffy, sometimes feathery, friendly pets.
Hello, my lovely.
Hello. Now, this month we're talking about the pros and cons of de-sexing our pets, as well as be introduced to our gorgeous pet of the month. But, you know, de-sexing. Surely there's only pros when it comes to de-sexing our pets, look, aka not having unwanted babies.
Yes.
Are there other pros though?
There's definitely lots. So I guess when it comes to de-sexing your pets, de-sexing can improve their overall health and give your pet the best chance at a happy and long life. There's so many different pros. There are definitely some cons. I guess it's a surgery at the end of the day. There's always a risk with any anaesthetic.
I've got a question. So why does de-sexing help with longer life for pets?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. So first of all, de-sexing means that you can avoid lots of different health problems when it comes to your pet. So that's the first thing. So things associated with breeding, so problems such as mammary and ovarian cancers definitely reduce with de-sexing. There's a infection in the uterus called pyometra that is very common. Approximately 25% of entire female dogs will develop a pyometra, and it's a life-threatening condition if not found in time, and ends up in an emergency surgery. So definitely more important to get that done sooner. It saves you money. It saves the animal's life.
I just thought it was always about stopping them from shagging everything.
Yeah, they still shag.
But knowing that that's a really important. I've never in my life known that that's the reason.
Yeah. Well, look, different things. Testicular cancer with male dogs. So many prostate cancers. It avoids so many different diseases.
Yeah.
So many pros. But so surely the only people who shouldn't be de-sexing their pets are legally registered breeders, right?
Look, if you are a registered breeder who really cares for their pets and does everything by the book, yes, I guess that is the one reason. The other reason, I guess, that you could say that de-sexing your pet's something that you should avoid is if your vet believes that your pet is too old and they are physically not well enough to de-sex, then maybe putting them through that procedure could be a negative. But in most cases, I mean, at our clinic, we de-sex animals, you know, that are still quite senior. It's just about doing it safely. As I said, there's always a risk with any anaesthetic, but taking those extra precautions, like putting them on fluids, doing pre-anaesthetic blood tests, all those sort of things helps.
I have a really interesting question.
Hit me.
Kind of left of field. I have a friend who has a Boston Terrier. Mm-hmm. She's very tiny for a Boston, and she never went on heat.
Yep.
So my friend hasn't gotten a de-sex because she's never gone on heat.
Weird.
Would it still be in her best interest to get her de-sexed because of the things like the cancers and that sort of stuff?
Well, first of all, that's strange.
It is. So she's very small. She was the runt and like very delayed growth.
So getting that dog vet checked, first of all, would be my main concern, making sure that there's no underlying issues that is stopping your dog not being on heat. That's a normal part of the process. It should happen. But then I guess de-sexing that dog would be very important, because even though she's not going on to heat, it doesn't mean that she's still not likely to get things like mammary cancers and things like that, you know. So it's one of these things that is definitely still a positive.
I always wonder when it comes to de-sexing whether or not people are all for it or the guys bringing their pets are freaking out. So we're going to dive into this a little bit more because we all love to look after our pets and make sure they're happy and healthy. We're talking de-sexing with Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue.
Ooh.
You're on Joy Brekkie.
Joy.
It is 8:15 for your Monday morning, and we have Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue in the studio, and we're talking about to de-sex or not to de-sex.
That is the question. We're talking about it for your pets, by the way, not for anyone else, just to make it very clear.
I don't think it's called the same thing when it's a human. You're not de-sexing a human.
I know, but you know when we suddenly start talking about it, sometimes the guys in the room just cross their legs and go, oh, what's going on?
Now, speaking of crossing your legs, there are certain people who really like the aesthetic of, mm-hmm. for example, bulldogs with big balls.
Yep.
Now, for those, it's a thing.
I get it. It absolutely is. I just didn't know how you were going to get us there, and you just rammed it straight in.
Bulldogs. big balls. And they do. They do tend to have quite large.
They do. For such small dogs, they just hang out there.
So, aesthetically... What can they do?
Yeah.
If they're like, it's in their dog's best interest, right?
All right. I was ready for this question. I was sure you were going to go there today. So I found some information on this. So there is one thing that you can do. So if you like the look of balls and you need to get your pet de-sexed, which everybody should, there is definitely something you can do. It's nothing that we have done at our clinic before, but there is a thing called neuticles.
Wait, neuticles.
Instead of testicles, they are called neuticles. So essentially, they are implants that are made out of a silicon or a product like silicon that take the place of a testicle.
I just love, I wonder who this is really for. Yeah, whether it's, well, I love that it exists, but also whether it's for the pet or for the owner to feel a little bit better.
I found a fantastic little quote on the internet. A little sentence. It says, neuticles allow your precious pet to retain their natural look, self-esteem, and aids the pet and pet owners with trauma associated to de-sexing.
Well, this is the pet owner's trauma. Pet owner has trauma, but not necessarily the pet.
Correct.
Because really, when we think about this, I mean, you know, a pet's not looking in the mirror going, oh, no. I could lose a few pounds. Like,
maybe my
balls could be bigger.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
No, not
exactly.
The way they're going. But when we think about de-sexing, a lot of people do... How do I say, what is it like for the animal? Mm. But, you know, what is the post de-sexing experience?
Of course. And that's a really important thing, I guess. At the end of an appointment, when you pick up your pet for de-sexing appointments, the nurse or the vet should go through some information about how to look after your pet post-surgery, right? Mm. They should be going home with pain relief. They should be really comfortable. They'll probably have one of those beautiful Elizabethan collar buckets on, you know, the cone of shame.
Yes. And stuff it with toys and then their happiness.
Yes. Exactly right. Peanut butter, all the good stuff. The main thing is looking after them appropriately while they recover. And then after that period, roughly 10 days or so, everything should have healed up nicely and they're back to normal. So as long as there are no complications, which can happen, you know, any surgery can have complications, but most vet clinics are used to dealing with them. It's generally a pretty quick recovery.
Awesome. I've gotten through a text message from my friend saying, now my dog Olive we were told for Olive by the breeder that we shouldn't get her de-sexed until she's over 12 months because it decreases the risk of some cancers.
Yep.
But the vets have been saying that she should be getting it done at 6 months, but she's still holding off because of what the breeder said.
Yep.
Is there a definite yes, no?
Yeah. It's a really good question, Rach. I guess there's so much information out there. Different people are saying different things, breeders, vets. At the end of the day, I would always go by the vet. The vet has done the study. It's like trusting your friend over a doctor, right? They've done the study. They know, they've read the studies. They know everything that they need to know about your animal. At the end of the day, yes, there are definitely studies out there that show different things about different breeds of dogs, especially with purebred dogs, different sizes of dogs, when to de-sex. And that's a whole nother conversation. I think I'm coming from an animal welfare perspective. At the end of the day, we see animals dying in pounds every single day, right? So at the end of the day, we want to reduce that. We want to make sure that every pet out there has a long and happy, healthy life. But we want to make sure that there are a lot of animals that get that opportunity, right? So de-sexing your pet early means that there are definitely positives to that. If your own pet is, say, a large breed Great Dane, for argument's sake, and they're a pure breed, there are definitely also arguments to say you should wait a little bit longer to avoid issues like skeletal issues, joint issues down the track, the best advice that I can give you is find a vet that you trust and follow their instruction. Do some research yourself, but then listen to your vet's information.
Brilliant.
That's really important. Now, to just wrap up this section of our conversation, you know, we are talking about a surgery. It can also be really expensive and not everyone can afford to be able to care for their pet in the right way. So what options do they have?
So de-sexing, depending on if it's a cat or a dog, can range anywhere from, say, $200 to $800, right? Not everybody has that in their pocket lying around. So you may put it off. And then guess what? Your pet's pregnant. You know, there's so many different things that can happen.
And then you have to pay for an abortion.
Well, potentially, yes. Or you have to go through the pregnancy, and then there's so many different complications that can happen. Yeah. Or you've got 13 dogs. And then what? So there are different options, Dean. Things like payment plans with your vet clinic. We spoke about this last month.
I forget every time that exists. And I love you mentioning it each and every time.
Most vet clinics have it, and if they don't, find another one. There's de-sexing programs. So we've just finished ours, but for the last month, we've been doing $50 cat de-sexings.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Right? Most people can afford that, and if you can't, borrow it off someone, or again, payment plans. There are different options. So call around, find out who's got specials on. Speak to your council as well. Sometimes they have de-sexing vouchers. There are lots of different options.
This is great.
De-sexing your pet is important, not only for the health of your pet, but for the entire community and the pounds and all of the different things.
Well, after this song, we are going to find out about our pet of the month, who clearly wasn't de-sexed because she's had some babies of her own. But we're going to hear all about Penny after I'm That Girl. This is Bex. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Joy.
It's 24 minutes past 8. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean, and we've got Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue with us this morning, and it's time for
our pet of the month.
Meow.
That was cute. Tell us about Penny.
Penny is a gorgeous little cat. She is what I would refer to a chocolate-covered marshmallow. She is absolutely adorable. Penny is a domestic short hair. She is about just over a year old, but she's been with us for so long, the poor dear. She's absolutely beautiful. She's not sitting at the shelter for any reason in particular. Just she's been overlooked by all the cute little fluffy kittens, but she is like a chocolate tortoiseshell, absolutely beautiful to look at, only just over a year. When she came in, you want to hear her story, actually. She was left at our shelter gates in a box with her kittens. So sometimes we run out of names. So originally she was Box Mum because we have so many cats that come in until she found her name. So Penny is her new name. Absolutely beautiful. So we don't know why her owner gave her up, whether they just couldn't look after her or whatever the reason was. But they trusted us and they left her with us. She has been safe ever since. Beautiful. From the moment she came in, her personality is just absolutely gorgeous. You look at her, she starts purring. She starts purring. She just does not stop.
Lovely. Well, Penny looks like a kitten herself.
She does.
Yet she's already had a litter of her own. Is she all de-sexed and healed up now?
Absolutely. So she's been de-sexed, microchipped, vaccinated. Everything is totally fine. So she's ready to find her new home. One good thing is, because she's been with us for a little while, is we've just started a new program where essentially there's no adoption fee for her. You just donate what you can. Adoption processes apply. So that we make sure she goes to a safe and wonderful new home, but any adoption fee will help cover her.
So what kind of home would be good for her?
So she's wonderful with other animals. She's wonderful with children. She would love an indoor-only home, one with a comfy couch and lots of love. So a really easy cat.
Well, we are going to put the details to the link to Penny on the podcast of today's episode so that you can find out more if you are perhaps looking for a pet of your own, and Penny might have a great home with you.
Exactly. As always, there are pets available to adopt, and we urge you to adopt and not shop. You can find Penny and all the other animals at secondchanceanimalrescue.org.au or through our Joy Breakfast socials.
Marissa, thank you so much for coming in again and all your hard work and dedication. We can't wait for you to join us again next month.
Thanks so much, guys. See you next month.
See you then. Bye. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
The Australian Ballet presents Oscar, a new ballet by Christopher Wheeldon, based on the life and writings of Oscar Wilde. Don't miss the world premiere of this powerful production, September 13 to 24 at Melbourne's Regent Theatre. Book now.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.